We know what season we're in. Are we in harvest season? I said we're in harvest season, are we not? Amen. And so last week I was in healing school, and Opal was ministering, and I've ministered along these lines before. We're going to talk about a great salvation. Are you glad you're born again? Are you glad you're saved? And that word salvation, a lot of people doesn't, they really don't know everything that it includes. And so I want to remind you over the next few weeks of everything that salvation is. And not only that it's available, but that you can walk in it. Amen. Are you ready to walk in all that salvation is? Are you going to help me out today? Amen. You got anybody going to help me out today? Because I need you to be excited about your salvation. Are you glad you're not going to hell? Anybody glad they're not going to hell? But everything that salvation is, Hebrews chapter number 2, Hebrews chapter number 2, we're going to look at verse number 3, Hebrews 2 and 3. It says, how shall we escape? How do you know? How many of you know there's things that we need to escape from right now on the earth? Amen. There's lots of stuff going on. There's wars and there's rumors of wars. There's famine. There's earthquake. There's all kind of pestilence. But and you all know that Jesus said that was going to happen in the last days. Do you all believe you're living in the last days? But it doesn't have to come near you. Why? Because you're saved. Because you're saved. You're not only saved in the fact that you're going to heaven, but you're saved in all that salvation is. And how can we escape if we neglect? That means we can neglect. What does it mean if you neglect something? Well, if you neglect your children, if you neglect a pet, you're going to be in trouble, aren't you? Are you going to be in trouble? Yeah, somebody's going to come get you. And I'm going to have to come visit you somewhere. So we don't do that. But also the Bible says in the same way, and I wanted to give you that picture, that you can neglect your salvation. It's not a one-time deal. It's not a one-time thing. And so we're going to look at the word salvation. We're going to look at soteria. We're going to look at sozo. We're going to look at the Old Testament word for salvation. And so we're not going to neglect. Everybody turn to your neighbor, even if you got to yell across the room. Everybody say, don't neglect your salvation. Amen. Which at first began to be spoken of the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard us. So salvation is something that we got to tell somebody. The Lord began to tell somebody. And then those that were with him began to tell somebody about salvation. Well, one thing you need to know about salvation, it's not just a thing. Salvation is a person. Amen. I said salvation is a person. And Jesus is salvation. And he came to bring salvation. Amen. And so I want to show you these words. And like we said, Opal goes over these in healing school. But one of those words is soteria. And it means to deliver. It means health. It means salvation. It means save and saving. There also, the other word that I really like is sozo. It means to deliver. It means to protect. It means to heal. It means to preserve. It means saved self. It means to do well. It means to be made whole. Your salvation and all that salvation is, everything that Jesus is, means that you should expect to be delivered. Come on, somebody, I'm delivered. It means you're protected. Come on, say, I'm protected. It means to be healed. Say, I'm healed. It means to be preserved. Say, I'm preserved. No plastic surgery necessary. I am preserved. Hallelujah. It means saved self. Are you saved? What are you saved from? I've been saved from hell. I've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. I have a home in a real place called heaven. It means to do well. Come on, it means to do well. It means to be blessed. Hallelujah. It means to be prosperous. It means to do well. Everybody say, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Hallelujah. It means to be made whole. Just like the leper that Pastor Belinda was talking about. It means to be made whole in every area of your life. Nothing missing and nothing broken. I said nothing missing and nothing broken. It means to be made whole. You are saved. You are thoroughly saved. You're not just going to miss hell and make heaven. You are delivered. You are protected. You are healed. You are preserved. You are saved. You are doing well. And you are made whole. You are saved. You have been sozoed. That's not even a word, but it is now. You are sozoed. But you see, how many people, you know, only understand one part of salvation? But it is an important part. Anyway, I am so glad that I am going to miss hell and make heaven. Amen. And then in the old covenant, even prophesying about Jesus, because see, salvation is a person. Now, one thing I want you to know is when Jesus showed up, he was the Son of God, but everywhere Jesus went, salvation came. Even before, see, salvation didn't just come and made available at the cross and the resurrection. That's how we receive it because it's past. But when Jesus showed up, salvation showed up. And so that's why he healed everywhere he went. Because, see, he can't separate who he is. He just shows up and salvation has come. Amen? Salvation has come. And so that's why the healing and the miracles happened. That's why he had to feed them with two loaves, you know, of the fish and the loaves. That's why he had to do it. Because salvation makes you do well. Come on, salvation makes you do well. That's why when the dead were there, he had to raise them up because he is resurrection life. He is salvation. Amen. And so everywhere Jesus went, you know, that salvation began to work. How many of you know the Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is salvation. He was salvation. He'll always be salvation. And so everything that salvation is still available for everyone who will believe. Amen? And we divide it up, and I'm going to divide it up for teaching purposes, but I'm telling you, Jesus is salvation. Just like Jesus is light. Jesus is life. Amen? But salvation is who he is, even in the Old Covenant. The word, you know, I'm not really good with these words, but I think it's yasha. It means to open. It means wide or free. It means to be safe. It means to avenge. It means to defend. It means to deliver. It means to help. It means to preserve. It means to replace. It means to be safe. It means to bring salvation, save, and get the victory. Hallelujah. When salvation comes to you, it opens things up. It causes you to be safe. It causes you to be free. It'll defend you, deliver you, help you, preserve you, replace whatever's been missing in your life. It'll cause you to, it'll bring all that salvation is to you. It'll save you and it'll cause you to get the victory. Come on, when salvation comes, victory comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation is just that good and it's that all-inclusive. I know when I was growing up, I'm so grateful, you know, for the little Methodist church I went to in Oliver, Illinois. You can't find it. So it was two churches in the town. And so I can take you to the place, and I have taken two people to the place. I know the spot in the church on the youth group night that I got born again. I can take you to the spot. I know where I was born again. But in a lot of these things, that's all I really ever knew. And to tell you the truth, I really came to the Lord more out of reverence and fear, and I didn't want to go to hell. I mean, when you find out about hell, you don't want to go there. I want to go there. And so that really kind of got me in the door, and I had a genuine born-again experience. I remember the night I got born again, because this is a little village-like place, you know. There's like this little square, and you know everybody there. And so we decided, the four of us that got born again, we went knocking on everybody's house and said, hey, we got born again, we got born again. They're like, oh, that's nice. And so here's a treat. Trick or treat, you know, but that's how we did. I don't know why we did it. But anyway, it was an emotional experience, but it didn't hold me. I got born again at 12. But at 16, I backslid till the age of about 23, seven of the most miserable years of my life. Because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And so the second time when I got introduced to him, I found out the goodness side of him. And it's kept me. The goodness side of him has kept me. And I find out and still find out how just good he is. And he's gooder and gooder and gooder every day. And the more I find out about him, the more how good he is, and the more I want to serve him and love him and fellowship with him, and amen. But then I remember in my salvation, I begin to experience and learn the different sides of it. I can also take you to the place in my mom and dad's farmhouse at a dining room table. I could reset it where I pulled out a chair for Jesus and asked him to sit down as we were talking about this pain that was trying to come back in my body that I had when I was a freshman in high school and the symptoms were trying to reappear. And I had been to school where I'd learned about Christ the healer like we do in our Bible Institute. And I had understood some things and I had been healed instantaneously times before. But I needed to receive, so I asked him to have a seat. You think that's crazy? Well, if Dr. Young E. Cho back in the day could have a seat for God in his church, I thought I could ask Jesus to sit down at my mom and dad's dining room table. And the most interesting thing is somebody came and sat there. And I felt the presence of God. And that's the point that I received Jesus as my healer. And then I began to walk in divine health. Have I had some challenges along the way? Oh, sure. But I can take you to the place I received him as my healer. He doesn't just heal me, he's my healer. Then I can take you, when I started pastoring this church in a little storefront church in Austin's furniture building that's burned down with a nasty brown carpet, country blue stage, black chairs that we got from some club that went under, and pieced together microphones, no sign of prosperity around. And we lived in a house. I won't tell you the street address because they don't want you to go bother them. But I was living with Paul and Dana up in a house on Pulaski Pike. And I can take you to the ugly brown carpet. Surely they don't have it still. Downstairs where I prayed. And I can show you the spot that I received Jesus. Also in that house, they had a brown table upstairs where I was. I can take you to those two spots where I received Jesus as my provider. And from that place, the Lord, I remember at that brown table, he said, I'm going to teach you how to prosper so that you can teach others how to prosper. I need you to receive me. So I went downstairs and I received him as my success. I received him as the one who would now on forever take care of me. See, where are you looking? I'm getting ahead of myself to see if you've received him as Savior in all of these areas. And we're going to look at them all. And I want to challenge you. Are you inviting your Franks? I know it's the holiday season and lots of people are out of town and stuff, but it doesn't leave you off. Even if you're watching me and you're somewhere else, I'm not letting you off, especially if you're with your relatives. Well, Pastor, we don't talk religion during turkey time. Well, I'm not asking you to talk religion. I'm asking you to talk relationship. There's a huge difference. But we're going to minister to our friends, our relatives, our associates. We're going to minister to our neighbors. We're going to minister to our kids. And we're just going to get on social media and use it for something to cause people to come to know the Lord. We're going to do that, right? We promised? Uh-oh. Remember we promised that? Remember? But salvation is so important. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk to you about these different areas. And when I talk about it, when I minister on it, I'm expecting him, the healer, to come. I'm expecting him, the provider, to come. I'm expecting him, the protector, to come. I'm expecting all that he is, because everywhere that he shows up as salvation, he does who he is. And we're not even going to have to ask him. We're just going to talk about him and who he is, and he's going to show up and do it. Amen? But who is salvation for? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. A lot of you know these scriptures, but I just want to remind you. The Bible says he would have all men. How many men? All men to be what? Say, everybody to experience all that salvation is. Not just go to heaven, but he would have all men, all 7 billion people on the planet. How many of them does he want saved? How many of them does he want healed? How many does he want provided for? How many does he want to protect? All of them. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Not half of the truth, not some of the truth. He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. Salvation is available for everybody. And so how do we receive salvation? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. It says, and when you were dead in sins, let me tell you, just stop here, that word dead in sins. That word dead doesn't mean cease to exist, because everybody that's walking around that's not born again is dead in their sins. Everyone is a spirit. They have a soul. They live in a body. It's not until you receive Jesus as Savior do you become alive and you receive eternal life. There are two kinds of death. There's a physical death, and then there's the second death. There's a physical death. It's really bad when someone physically dies and they're spiritually dead. Pastor, I don't like that word, spiritually dead. Well, the Bible uses it, so let's use it. Because if you're spiritually dead, it doesn't mean you cease to exist. You never cease to exist. One of the things that God gave human beings the ability to do is when a man and a woman come together and make a baby, they've made an eternal being. And God knows us in our wombs. Amen. So when a man and woman come together and they make a child, they make an eternal being. And the Bible says God knows us in our wombs. He knows you. After your mama and daddy name you, and some of them, he looks at those names and goes, what in the world? How you spell that? And so, but how many of you know our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen. Glory to God. Whether your name is written when you're born or after you're born again, and whether it's blotted out, I don't know. I just know my name is there. Do you know your name is there? Amen. And so, but God knows us. And so the only way to avoid the second death is to remain dead in sins. So even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved, verse 6. And he has raised us up together, made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding great riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, verse 8. For by grace, how do you get saved? Grace. What happened? God, Jesus reached out in his kindness and his mercy, and he took all your sin, all your guilt, all your shame. He who knew no sin became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. He took all of sin upon him. He became sin. He just didn't take sin. He became sin. And when you believe on him, he who became sin, who knew no sin, so that you could become righteous. Amen. By grace, God reached out and said, here's a free gift, but you got to take it through what? The doorway that you get this is through faith. Don't let this be too simple. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. There's nothing you can do to be born again on your own. There's nothing you can do. There's no amount of things that you can do ever to get born again. It's not of yourself. It is a what? It's a gift. Aren't you glad for the free gift? Amen. Then how do you get born again? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there, it's a heart thing and a mouth thing. We've got to believe in our heart and say with our mouth. But listen, this is how you receive everything that salvation is. This is how you got born again so that you would miss hell and make heaven. This is how you got born again so that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is how you got born again so that you know there's a place for you in heaven. But this is how you receive all that salvation is. You believe it in your heart and you speak it with your mouth, and it's all by grace. Through faith. Sometimes in our circle, I think we thought it said, if I'll work enough, if I'll be good enough, if I'll do this enough, then I'll receive. No, it's all by grace. It's all free. But it's all through faith. And it's all by believing in your heart. And it's all by confession with your mouth. Amen. And so how do you know? How does anyone know you're born again? Because I want to help you. I don't want you to think about this message is just for me. I want you to think about where we live. One of the great things about where we live in North Alabama is everybody's from somewhere else. Amen. You don't have to go to the mission field to meet somebody from another nation. You can come to church here. You don't have to meet somebody from another nation, go to another, you don't have to go across, you don't have to get on a plane, you don't have to get on a boat, you don't have to do anything, you just have to go to work. Amen? I'm just telling you, this is a melting pot for people all over the world. And guess what? They've come to the middle of the buckle of the Bible Belt. And it would be a shame for all them to learn about North Alabama is that we have white sauce and sweet tea. That would be a shame if all that's all they learn. What they need is they need an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can give them that by just sowing a seed, by just sharing, by just being you, by just telling them who Jesus is. You don't have to get a megaphone. You don't have to get a bullhorn. You don't have to stand on a corner. All you got to do is be you. Share the word of God. Share what God's done for you. And so how do we know, though, when we encounter people, how do we know if they're born again? How can you really tell if you're born again? Do you know if you're born again? How do you know? How do you know? Well, 1 John 5 and 10. He that believes on the Son of God has a what? Or a knowing. Do you know? Do you know? Romans 8, 16. Says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There's just this knowing on the inside. The best thing, if you would ask somebody or talk to somebody, or if I were to ask you, do you know you're born again? And you'd say, yep. I'd say, how do you know? Well, I just know. That's the best answer you could give. But if someone says to you, if you're talking to them, and they say, I don't know, what do you know? If someone were to say to you, if you were to ask them, you know, are you born again? Do you know, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Are you going to heaven? You would, and they would say, I don't know. What do you know? You know that they're not born again. That's what you know for sure. Because if anyone ever says, well, I hope so, or I don't know, because salvation is no-so. I said salvation is no-so. How do you know? Well, I don't know it up here. I don't know it because I'm some bright, shining example. I know it because I know so. I know that if I ever leave my body, I'm going to heaven. Not because I've seen heaven, not because I've seen the Lamb's Book of Life, not because I've ever seen an angel, and not because I've seen Jesus himself. I know I'm going because I know so. And that's what we have to get. We have to get to the no-so. Well, I want to just get you ready for what's coming up. See, that's the same thing with healing. How do you know you're healed? Well, I can check my body. Wrong answer. How do I know that I'm blessed? Because I can look in my checkbook. Wrong answer. How do I know that I'm protected? Because I got a gun. Wrong answer. How do you know? See, salvation is what? No, so where do you know it at? You know it in your heart. You have a witness. How do I know I'm healed? Because I know so. How do I know I'm blessed? Because I know so. How do I know I'm protected? Because I know so. See, you've got to get to the know so on all areas. How do I know I'm healed? How do I know I can walk in divine health? Because I know so. How do I know that I'm protected? Because I know so. Sometimes I got to work to get to the know so and get past all the emotion of the know, do I know? When I get on a plane after I've laid hands on it and cursed all the weather and done all that and I sit in my seat and the Lord's amused with me or whatever, but then I can get to the I know so. Amen. I don't have to look at my checkbook to know if I'm blessed. Amen. Because money's like dust. There'll be more tomorrow. Amen. How do I know I'm protected? Oh, because we have some police officers that come to church here and they know they're listening for me on the scanner. No. I appreciate that. Y'all keep it up. But what I know, but what do I know? I know in here. I normally tell this story, I wasn't gonna do it, but I'll just be real honest when it comes to some of this stuff, especially the area of protection. Fear is a big deal with me. So I just like to be real with you. Something that's one I really work on. And I was telling the story first service, and so I'm going to tell it again because I think it'll help somebody. Just you got to get to the place where there's a no-so experience and receiving Jesus as my protector. I remember when our daughter was born, I didn't get any sleep, not because she cried, but because I was afraid. And I remember almost hourly, Rhonda used to get mad. Almost hourly, I'd walk in there and put my hand over her and see if she was breathing. And sometimes I'd wake her up and, you know, Rhonda just got to sleep and she's like, what are you doing? I want to make sure she's alive. But what was it? It was very fear motivated. It wasn't love. It was fear. And I, because if you love somebody, you don't have to be afraid. But I do remember one time, and I did this for a long time until I was wearing myself out. And I do remember walking in one time. It was almost like I bumped into somebody. And I'm like, who are you? And I heard, because God will do some things for you to help you in this area. I heard, I am her strong defender. And it just put me at a place of peace that'll help you. What it was, and during that time, I really was, but I had to do it in every area. I'd received him as Savior. I'd received him as healer. I'd received him as provider. But I needed to receive him as protector, not only from me, but my family. And in that, it's an area that I really had to work at, fear. And so salvation is all-inclusive. But you get it all the same way that you are born again, that you get to go to heaven and you miss hell. And when do you know that you have it? When you got the witness. Not based on anything outward. And sometimes you got to dig through stuff to get to the witness. If you can get to that witness. That's why we talk a lot about that witness. Because that witness is huge for a lot of areas of your life. And so when you're even trying to help people, you know, you can get a witness of are they born again or not. You can, and just pinpointing them with their words. Because if they don't know so, if they don't know so, then they're not born again. And then the Bible talks about another way to know so. 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. We'll look at this real quick. Because it says, and you know that, talking about Jesus, he was manifested to take away our sins. Are you grateful Jesus took your sin? And in him is no sin. Verse 6. Whoever abides in him sins not. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Verse 7, little children, everybody, are you little children? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin, I like the Amplified, it says, he who lives in and habitually practices sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, aren't you glad Jesus was manifested? That he would do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, whoever is born of God, is that you? If you're born of God, you're not to commit or you don't live in and practice sin. For his seed remains in him and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Are you born of God? Amen. And this is this, and in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. So it's very easy. Those who practice sin and live in sin are of the devil. Those who don't, they're born of God. Are you born of God? Enough said. Whoever does not, righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loves not his brother. And then we could get into this. Another manifestation. So there's a witness. We don't practice and live in sin. And we love the brethren. How can you love a God that you cannot see? If you can't love somebody, you do see. So part of being born again, an outward expression of that, is to love the brethren. So in this, as we're looking at ministering to people and salvation and all that salvation is, I want to remind you of some people in the book of Acts who got born again. And there's all different kinds of people in all different places of their life. And so when we talk about salvation, the born again part, I want you to know this is for you and I want this for you, but I really, during this season, want you to begin to look out. I want you to look at your friends. I want you to look at your relatives. I want you to look at your associates. I want you to look at your neighbors. I want you to look when you're at the football game. I want you to look on social media. And I want you to begin to think on a very regular basis, are they saved? Are they walking with God? Do they know the truth? Can I help them with the truth? And because I just think it's a shame. I think it's a crime that if we know the answer, not to give it to them. How dare us keep our mouths closed when we know the answer to something and we can help them by giving them someone, giving them Jesus. Amen? And in this season that we're in, how many know the whole reason for Christmas is Jesus is the reason for this season? And so beginning at Thanksgiving, people are moving towards that, and you have an opportunity to reach out to your friends, to your relatives, to those you work with, to your neighbors, to everybody you come in contact, and use that Facebook for Jesus. And so let's think about the people. The first one I always think of is there is a nasty, mean religious man who was a murderer, and he had papers in his hands, basically to lock up anybody he wanted to, and basically he could kill anybody he wanted to. He stood there while they stoned Stephen and gave approval of it. And this guy was really heinous in the fact that he thought he was doing God's work. Today, we would call him a terrorist. Today, we would call him a terrorist. And his name was Saul. And he was going about doing his terror, because everywhere he went, people were afraid of him, and they began to pray for him. Later, you find out he had some relatives, and I believe if I had a cousin who was a terrorist, I might pray for him. And then what happened was Jesus appeared to this man named Saul on the road to Damascus. And it was quite an appearance, because when he appeared, Saul said, "Lord, who are you?" In other words, this is unusual. I know you're not somebody from here, but who are you? He didn't know who he was, didn't have a clue. And he said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." So we thought he was persecuting the church, but really he was persecuting Jesus. Jesus took it personal. When the church people get persecuted, he takes it personal. Aren't you glad God takes it personal when somebody picks on you? I said, God takes it personal when somebody picks on you. Now, I can't promise you that he's going to appear to whoever's picking on you, but I can promise, I know the Lord is on your side. He's going to take care of you. And so what do we know? What happened to Saul? Well, he had a dramatic change. So much so that Jesus changed his name from Saul to Paul, and God used him, and he ended up pretty good. He wrote some things in the Bible. Romans, and oh, he wrote almost all of it. Hallelujah. But he was a terrorist. He was mean. There's nobody you know that the grace of God can't touch. There's nobody on planet Earth, all 7 billion plus of them, that God can't touch. But Paul chose to receive. This Saul man who was mean and nasty, who was killing people, putting people in prison, thought he was doing God's work. He was transformed, but he made a choice to believe in Jesus. Then there was a man named Cornelius. Remember him? He's the guy that, is that right if I call him dude? Is Cornelius dude? He was in a band. He was in the Italian band. Anyway, he wasn't in a band. Come on, y'all. See, when I try to be funny, I can't be funny. When I'm not trying to be funny, it's funny. And then it's embarrassing. Anyway, so now I'm embarrassed now. All right, so he was in an Italian band, and he was a good man. How many of you know, I remember a lot. This one guy one time, we were up in Alabama or Tennessee. I don't remember which place. Pastor Ron and I argue about this all the time. I'm sure she's right. But I was chasing this. We were younger, and I was chasing this older couple around. Now, all the time I get to him, the Lord said, minister to him. I don't know if I told you this already. And then I finally got to him, and I found out he was a good man. He was an elder of a church and had done good things for God all his life. Cornelius was a good man. He had built synagogues. He gave lots of money. He was doing good things. But listen to me, not enough. Not enough to make heaven. If he had not listened to Peter and been born again, I don't care how many synagogues he built. I don't care who he gave money to. He would have died in his goodness and gone to hell. One of the worst things that we could do for people, how do you know, imagine people who have they ever said to you, well, I hope my good works, I'm trying to do more good than I am bad. I think my good still outweighs my bad, so I think when I get to the pearly gates, he'll let me in. No, he won't. There's no getting in for you. You have to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only way for you to be there is to believe on Jesus, that he was raised from the dead, and believe that in your heart and confess that from your mouth. I don't care what kind of good things, I don't care how many poor people you feed. You're not going to heaven without believing that Jesus was raised from the dead and having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not happening. But how awful to have done all those good things and then not make heaven. Cornelius was a good man, not going to heaven. Cornelius was a good man, not going to heaven. Until he did what? Until he believed that Jesus was the Son of God raised from the dead. Amen? Him and the whole bunch that he gathered. Then you got another person I want to look at. Y'all remember Lydia of Thyatira. Lydia, remember when that fortune teller little girl was going around saying, these men are the way to show us to salvation, and Paul being grieved, and then Paul and Silas ended up in jail? Right before that, it talks about this businesswoman. A businesswoman. I believe this businesswoman helped start the church that is in the book of Revelation known as the Church of Thyatira. I believe that, and because this woman is a seller of purple, I think it gives her a nod when you look at it in Revelation. And so, but this woman, this businesswoman, what happened to her? Why did she get born again? She honored God, so people can honor God. You can believe that God is, but that's not good enough. Even the demons believe that God is. It's not good enough. It's not good enough to believe there's a God. It's not good enough. It's not enough. But the Bible says this, it says about her, whose heart the Lord opened. Who opened? The Lord opened. So there's people out there, as you pray for them, as you go, the Lord is opening their heart. Businessmen, businesswomen. I don't care how much money somebody's got, they still need Jesus. I don't care how many businesses they own, they still need Jesus. And it'd be wrong for you and me not to tell them. Are you with me? And so we know she got born again. And then, remember when Paul and Silas got thrown in jail? They were praying and praising, and the prison doors were open. Then there was a man who was on the other end of things. This man, I don't believe, this guy had to be already a mess. Because his first instinct was to kill himself. I'm telling you, this jailer, his life was already a mess. I guarantee you, his home life was a mess. If your first thought is not run... Because, you know, instead, I'm going to protect myself. His first thought was to kill himself. Now, this one, I do get this one. There are some people that you and I know that you may not know if they're suicidal, but life for them is a mess. Life for them is no good. There is one man who can fix it. And this holiday season, there's a lot of people, you and I might get excited about it, but they get depressed over. So we've got people to reach. But this jailer, remember what Paul said? Don't do yourself any harm. We're still here. And then not only him, but his whole household got born again. If you can reach someone who's in a suicidal mess, I believe you could also reach their entire family and bring household salvation. Thank God. Thank God. So just a small sampling of all different kinds of people. But everybody needs Jesus. Amen. And see, salvation for you, we're going to get into what it does for you, but let's get them through the door. Let's show them. Whether you bring them here or whatever you do, let's minister salvation to people. You know, I'm so grateful for a place called heaven. I only use this scripture a lot, you know, when I'm ministering to people as their family members have gone home to be with the Lord. But Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Listen, we're not just going to a place called heaven. We're going to Father's house. In my Father's house. He's bringing us home to his house. The loved ones that were born again that have gone before you, they're in Father's house. They didn't pass away. They moved. They went home. And we're all going home real soon. We're not getting up a load today, but we're all going. And in God time, it's just not that long. How many of you know if you lived 120 years, or you and I, anyone in this room, you live 50 more years, in God's mind, that's just not much. Just come and go. Just come and go. But then there's also another real place. The Bible talks about when people experience the second death, that there's hell, and it's real. Eternal lake of fire and gnashing of teeth. And people ask this question all the time. I've had it asked to me. Well, why does a loving God that you talk about. A good God send people to hell. Well, God's never sent anybody there. God's never sent anybody there. It's a choice. It's a choice. You either choose to believe in Jesus or reject him. You either bow your knee in humble adoration now or you'll bow it later. But I think we have a mission, and I think we've got something good to share, because all I want to talk to people about is the goodness of the Lord. And when you talk about the goodness of the Lord, the Bible says that alone will lead them to repentance. It's just good to talk about how good God is to you. That's all you got to do. Has he been good to you? Is he good to you? Are you grateful? Even if you've been through some things, he got you out of them, and he's good. And he helps you, and he's good. That's all you got to do is just share about the goodness of God. It's not your job to make them decide. It's just your job to be you and share. But salvation is huge. It's a big thing. And we're going to go through all these things, and I want you to believe with me. I don't know what I'm doing next week. It may be healing. But when I talk about that side of salvation, I'm expecting the healer to show up. I am. Because Mark 16:20, which is one of my life scriptures, my ministry scriptures, and that's how the Lord called me. He said, wherever you preach, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, confirming his word. So if I'm going to teach it, he's going to show up and do it. I know it. I don't have to ask him. I just got to obey. Are you with me? Amen. Are you glad you're saved? Well, I want to make sure you are. And so I'll make sure that everybody in this room or those watching, I want to give everybody the opportunity. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for every person in this room. Thank you for those that are watching. If anyone doesn't know you, Jesus is Savior, Holy Ghost, I ask you to deal with them right now. Holy Ghost, I ask them to show you to show them the goodness of my Savior. Every head bowed, every